Blog Talk Radio.
This is ATL Designer, the host of In the Mood, and you are listening to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, Terry brings you all the hot topics for your listening pleasure. Each and every Friday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. And you can also reach Terry direct. Her number is 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. So log in, listen, enjoy. I'll see you there.
You're the outside woman. Don't feel bad. Yeah.
and welcome to another episode of Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle and Chris Michael Ward. And tonight we have a great show for you. It's called Red Hot Poetry. So it's going to be hot. You know, if you got an issue or problem with it, time to turn it off. Get off your laptop, whatever you use it. You don't have to listen in. That's your choice. But I want to first thank all my listeners from north to south, east to west, and all my listeners in the 33 countries around the globe. I appreciate you. But before I introduce my special guest, I want to say hello to my co-host, Chris. How are you, Chris?
I'm good, Terry, but I have to be honest, your audio is a little off and on, cutting out.
Really?
Huh. Yeah, really.
Well, can you hear me, Nicole?
Yes.
Okay, well, hopefully everyone can hear. I amplified it so that it'll be louder, and I hope that it does. But anyway, I'm going to tell you a little bit about our guest. Man, she is phenomenal. Right now she's going for her doctorate. She was also a school teacher in the Vicksburg Warren School District in Mississippi. She started her own company entitled Poetry at Best. She loves to give of herself, is why she's dedicated 7 years as a school teacher. And, you know, she went through some stuff. She wrote 12 books, but she went through some stuff, you know, being a mistress and being ostracized by the preacher, the people at the school system, the people that surrounded her. You know, they try to dog her out. Even when she was at a sorority, she had the guy that she thought she was in love with in a relationship. He filmed her having sex, so the sorority couldn't hire her in the sorority. So she's been through some stuff, but you know she's a survivor because whatever you threw at her, she went somewhere and made it better. She's very, very intelligent, you know, and I'm so proud and glad to have her on our show tonight because you know something, they say what don't break you make you stronger, and I'm so proud of her because if everyone be truthful, we're all sinners, we all got a past, we all have messed up sometime or another, so we can't even point our fingers at someone else because when you point one finger, you got three pointing back at you, so y'all remember that, and for all of y'all people who are like, oh my God, oh, the mess you're going to talk about, don't get all mad and get all ugly because, you know, it is what it is. So we ain't pointing no fingers. And if anybody would like to talk to our guests, dial 347-945-6003 and hit the one key. If you don't hit the one key, you'll stay muted. But on that note, I want to say, Nicole, darling, thank you for being here. And you know something, thank you for having the balls to be honest and put yourself out there. Because once you put it out there, it has no more sting. They can't sit there and say, did you know she did that? Because once you tell your own story, it loses all the gas. I know that from my own life experience. And so thank you for being here. How are you, Nicole?
I'm doing great.
That's wonderful.
I was a little under the weather this morning, but I'm doing great right now. I've got a little medicine in me.
Okay, well, I'm glad you did. So, did you start writing poetry because of your sex life or because it was therapy? Because sometimes therapy, people start writing stuff because they want to, you know, get their mind clear. And a lot of times that is therapy when you write stuff down that's affecting you. What caused you to decide to start writing poetry, especially that red, hot, saucy poetry, girl?
Actually, I started writing when I was at an early age as like an elementary student. They put me in a creative writing class. So I got hooked on poetry. And I was found to be quite talented at it. And also, it is therapeutic, you know, some of the problems, some of the things that I faced in my life, it's easy to pen in poetry. Even some of the good things that happened in my life was penned in poetry. And I must say that, you know, even though I went through the things that I did go through, I have to say, even though people may not believe that I'm a Christian, or people may not believe that I know God. You know, all things work together for good of those who love God and who are called according to his purpose.
Amen.
So even the things that happened bad in my life, it dictated to my purpose in life, because it's going to help somebody else along the way that has been going through the situation or will go through the situation in the future. And I must say that it was really difficult to get out of that relationship with that guy. It lasted for 10 years. And
how many years?
The first book, 10 years.
Okay.
And really, 5 years after I left him alone, I discovered that he was fighting for me to come back. And he was using some of everybody.
He's a bum.
He was fighting everybody. He was using everybody that he could to get me back. Even the people that he married.
Yeah, well, let me just say this. This is the same bum that took videos of y'all having sex and then turned it over to a group of females to get you ostracized at the sorority. So, you know, ain't nothing you can say.
Well,
you know, I know when you're in love with somebody or think you're in love, it's hard to let go when somebody is showing you attention for that purpose. But, no, you did the right thing. You ran far away. You did the right thing, darling.
At the time, I didn't know that was going on. I didn't know that until I got all the way by myself after I was ostracized by so many people.
Yeah, but once you found out, he couldn't come back to you because you didn't know at the time he was being recorded. But you found out, and that's still the same time he wanted to come back. So he ain't had a leg to stand on. Oh, heck to the no. Man, like I said, if I was your sister, man, I would have stepped in him, because you ain't going to do my sister like that, you know, because families are supposed to stick together. I'm surprised yours didn't stick with you. But on that note,
they didn't.
I see that Chris got a question he would have asked you.
They saw dollar signs, and that person was successful as in politics. So they, you know, saw that person as a person that took care of me, paid my bills, that kind of stuff. So they were looking at the fact, they were seeing dollar signs and not seeing what God had placed in me. And like I said, I was nice enough, you know, so when it came around to the second time around that he was trying to get married to this person, this second wife or whatever, I was nice enough to tell her that he was in it for the money, because she didn't take heed. And even the second time around, when I wrote the second book, I told her again because he was wanting me to come back, and she still didn't take heed. And the first time I had...
Well, no, hold that thought. Hold that thought, darling. Chris got a question he want to ask you.
Okay.
Hold that thought. Go ahead, Chris.
Okay, Nicole, my first question, it's a two-parter. But I understand that you're not only are you an author, but you're also an elementary school teacher. So when COVID was high,
well,
was that,
I'm not teaching elementary right now. I'm just working at a general school. I'm not even working because I'm in my hometown now. This whole situation caused me not to be able to get a job at K-12 in my hometown.
Okay. Well, okay.
So what's the second part of the question?
But now I'm back in my hometown.
Well, the second part was how is she balancing COVID with the two jobs? But she's not an elementary school teacher, so that kind of threw me off with my question.
Well, what she's doing right now, she's currently going for her doctorate, but it takes a lot of time. And like she said, you know, the people in the community, they still holding grudges. You know, you got a daughter who's a teenager, and I'm sure you got grandma who's looking out for whatever, or her dad. You know, why don't you say forget all this mess and start fresh somewhere else? And, you know, if you need help with that, all you got to do is write to the Chambers of Commerce in that state. They will send you a package which will tell you where schools are, churches are, what's the weather each month, how to get an apartment, how to rent furniture. It'll tell you everything, where to go for employment, because I did that when I had left Baltimore and moved to California. So that is a good resource that you can look into. But forget all that right now. You know, tell me about your poetry. Okay, did it start off red hot, or as you grew as a person and got, you know, into the world and experienced relationships and stuff, is that when it got hot? Or did it go hot because after you left that guy, you start to have memories of how good that sex was? You said, ooh, hey, let me put it down on paper.
Well, it got hot after dealing with being involved in relationships. You know, as a young child, I didn't talk about that kind of stuff. But as I got older and got into situations, and, you know, some of the really, really hot stuff was about that particular person. But like I said, some of the hot things were about him. Some of the hot things were not, you know, and some of them were just about, you know, talking to friends and hearing about their experiences as well.
Well, you know, Nicole, you got 12 books out there, and I hope that before the show is over, you tell people how to buy them. But before a person buys something, it takes a lot. You either got to have something, the cover that looks like, wow, I want to see what's inside this book. Or you got to have an excerpt on the back of the book that's saying what's in it. So without further ado, I want you to pull out one of them hot, spicy poems and read it. And as you know, on this show, there's no censorship because everybody got a story to tell. We're all sinners trying to get to heaven. So, you know, don't point fingers because three point back at you. So, darling, you can do what you do. And if anybody don't like it, they can just jump off. I don't care.
Right, exactly.
Yes.
Well, I'm going to start out sweet. And this one is called Cotton Candy. And it's an excerpt.
Speak up a little louder.
Well, I'm going to start out.
I can barely hear you. Can you speak up a little louder?
Yes. Can you hear me now?
Okay. Live radio.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to start out sweet. And it's called Cotton Candy. And it's an excerpt from Are You Still in Love with Who?, which was my 12th book, which was released on September 3rd, 2021.
Okay.
Again, it's called Cotton Candy. Give me that cotton candy, boy. With you all day, I'll toy to get that sweet cottony treat. Give me that cotton candy, boy. That stuff that flows out when you're filled with the utmost joy. Give me that cotton candy, boy. All day I'll play with you and have a real feast. Give me that cotton candy, boy. That cotton candy is what I enjoy.
Is that it?
And that's the end.
And that's the one you wrote last year? Okay, so you call that hot and heavy. It's red hot. Girl, I thought that was a PG, but okay. With your cotton candy.
I said I was starting out sweet, but I have some more.
Okay, well, let me just see why it's called Red Hot Poetry, because I didn't even hear no smoke with that.
Okay.
All right, bring it, darling. We waiting on you.
Okay, I have another one called...
Okay.
And this is from my brand new book. It's called The Diminishing of Slime, and it's called Spontaneous Combustion. This is my message to men who think they are in control when they get a real woman's pussy, mouth, and asshole. Yeah, you might be running in the pussy and the ass, but in the mouth, you need to sit in my class. See, that's what you love the most. It's because you don't do work. You just moan and cuss and fight diligently against a weak butt. When it gets good, you thrust and boast and say, suck that big bitch because me you love the most. Then you place more obstacles in a real woman's life. because you don't want her to suck the life out of you, you start to fuck her throat and say, bitch, you ain't going to make me explode. Then in your mind, she's literally a fuckhole, but the obstacles you created gave her control because she continues to suck and you're dying not to bust that nut. Then your heart, mind, body, and soul she controls. You lose your life because she sucks and swallows that shit out of you. Then to your wife and your friends, you call her a hoe. When that shit ends, then she displays what she hears you say when she fights your denying Peter. Then to you, she says, follow the leader. And please don't bust your nut on her face. When she leaves you, your life explodes in hers because she has your life on her face, and no one will ever, ever erase or replace her. Spontaneous combustion from sexual chemistry is more powerful when it's in a woman's north, her mouth, than in the one's south.
Okay. Well, on that note, I think I'll just share with everybody a poem. Not a poem, more like a joke. But anyway, these two prostitutes, they were driving down the road, right? And they had the sign on the side of their car that says, two hoes for one. So the police pulled them over and said, miss, you can't have a sign like that on your vehicle. And she said, well, how come that car over there that say Jesus saved, how come they can have it on their car? The police said, that's because it's religious. She said, oh, okay, fine, thank you. So down the road, those same two hoes, they were driving, and they had on the side of their car, it says, two fallen angels looking for Peter. And on that note, I'm going to let Chris ask his question.
That's a good one. Ba-dum-bum.
Thank you.
You're welcome. My next question for Nicole is, Nicole, you know, your poetry is so, it's so wordy. How long does it take you to write poems?
It depends. It could take maybe 5, 10, 15 minutes. It could take less than that. It just depends on what mood I'm in.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Well, you know, I found that, you know, because I write poetry as well, you know, poetry that comes real quick, that's the poetry that is generated because you're either very happy or you're very angry or you're very sad. When you're in the extreme of whatever emotion you're in, poetry comes quick. But if you sit in there and say, well, let me write some poetry, it takes longer because it's just not there. You know, emotions push the poetry to come out. But you know something? I'm going to take a little break so we can listen to a little Bruno Mars. I'm going to leave my door open, and we'll be back in 2 and 2. Stay with us.
I look too good to be alone. My house clean, my pool warm, just shake smooth like a newborn. We should be dancing, romancing in the east wing and the west wing of this mansion. What's happening? I am playing no games. Everyone that I say is coming straight from the heart. So if you're trying to lay in the I'ma leave the I'm talking kissing, cuddling, rose petals in the bathroom.
Well, welcome back to Unmasked with authors Terry E. Lyle and Chris. And again, I want to say thank you to all my listeners, north and south, east and west, and all the 33 countries around the globe who's tuning in. If anybody want to talk to our guest while she's still here, dial 347-945-6003 and hit the one key. If you don't hit the one key, you'll stay muted, so don't worry about it. But my question for you, Nicole, is I know you're going out. I know right now you are studying for your doctorate. And what subject matter are you trying to get your doctorate?
In leadership, educational leadership.
Okay, good. No, I was wondering, were you raised with a man in the house?
Yes, I was.
Was it a functional, dysfunctional family group, or was it a good one? Because I can't understand the life of me why that man figured they go out there and whoop that guy's butt, you know, because you don't do my baby like this.
Well, I come from an extremely dysfunctional family, and like I said, they liked him because he was once the assistant attorney general for the state of Louisiana, so they thought that was something really big to have, a big position to have, but he lost it doing things that he wasn't supposed to do at his desk with those tapes.
Wow. Well, you know something, Nikki, well, a guy takes advantage of a person, sometimes we might be guilty of not doing our research first, making sure that it's the right fit. Because a lot of times we think when somebody says some pretty words to us or they flatter us and stuff that, oh, wow, they really love me. But, you know, you really do know if you spend a little time first to ask some questions, then you can find out stuff. Because sometimes people are just crazy. They come from a crazy family. You know, don't let the flattery get you to be in the situation you're in now. You come back to your hometown and you're ostracized, you know. So that part of Mississippi must be a small community because I would move to that community.
Why? It was in Mississippi. I had to run to Mississippi. I was in Louisiana. I was in Monroe, Louisiana, my hometown. And actually, these people are more angry at me now than they were then, because since I left Mississippi, I came back with more accomplishments than I had in the beginning. So
well,
it's just
man,
a lot of things. Right. In actuality, they lied on my abilities. And when I did come back with more accomplishments, it made them more out of a lie.
Right. Well, I'm glad for you, darling. Chris got a question for you.
Yes, Nicole. Do you have any other books in the future? Like, are you working on anything, or are you just focusing on what you're doing
yes.
now?
I'm working on one right now called Wet Dreams.
Oh, that's awesome.
Wet Dreams.
I have some from that as well to share with you, but I do want to share one that one of my friends requested by text because she's listening right now. And it's from my second book in this series. It's all about slime series called Oh, Shit. So it's
okay,
really
go ahead.
The title of this is Oh, Shit. It's from The Refusal to Return the Slime. Oh, Shit. Oh, my God. I often love to hear it. Oh, Shit. That meant I was really handling my business. Oh, Shit. I wonder if she hears it. I know she doesn't. Oh, Shit. That sweet, tasting, shimmery, sometimes white. Oh, Shit. But that treatment, that nigga was fight. Oh, Shit. He can't get it. Oh, Shit. He's not done. Oh, Shit. He lost and I won. Again, ladies and gentlemen, that was Oh, Shit. From the
title's catchy. The title's catchy.
Okay,
first of all, that was catchy. The title's
catchy, yeah. Yeah, well, I like it, you know, and you said that for her. But I know you got 12 books. I'm going to give you the opportunity real quick to read one more poem. Then you got to talk to somebody, the name of your books, how much they cost, and how to get a hold of them, because I want to use this opportunity for you to have a way to advertise your stuff.
Okay. Right now, I have 13 books. I just released one on Tuesday. No.
Okay.
That was Wednesday, March 9th. And it's called The Diminishment Slime. So it's a third book. It's the third book in the All About Slime series. The first book is All About Slime. The second book is The Refusal to Return to Slime. And the third book is The Diminishment of Slime.
Okay. Let me ask you one question before you start reading your poem. The books that you wrote, how many pages usually are in your books?
I think the lowest amount of pages that I've ever written in a book was 68, and the highest was about 242 pages. And the refusal to return was 242 pages. And I'm going to tell you why it was 242 pages. I was by myself in Vicksburg, Mississippi, in this place that I call the honeycomb hideout. Nobody knew where I was, not even my mom, not my dad. They couldn't explain to people where I was because I was so publicly humiliated in my hometown, Monroe, that I had to leave. I literally had to go, you know, to have peace in my life. I didn't have peace at home. I didn't have peace at Walmart. I didn't have peace at the mall. I didn't have peace at church. I did not have peace. I did not have peace with, as far as, you know, being able to talk to counselors or anything, you know. It just seemed like everybody in that place wanted me to still be with that married guy, and I just didn't understand it, you know. Everybody wanted to negate my testimony, and it was only God that got me out of that situation, and it was only God that kept me out of that situation because, he was like...
Yes.
Like I said, he was like my only friend, my only good memory from undergrad, and he was the only good friend that I kept that was from undergrad, kept in contact with from undergrad. So it was really hard for me to let that person go. So when I was penning that book, you know, a lot of things were coming forth that I had never shared with anybody. But the reason why I did start sharing it with people was because it was being revealed to me that he was sharing things with people that I didn't even know, you know. So that's why I'm still in a bad situation where I am right now because, you know, he's no longer in that powerful position. But when he was in that position, he was using some of everybody and some of everything to get me to come back. When I was locked up away from everybody in Vicksburg, and
I've heard you before while we having this interview talking about he's been using people to get me back. It sounds like a little bit like you kind of want to go back. Is that the truth or not?
Oh no, I don't. No, I don't.
Okay, well, you know, sometimes you got to stop talking about a person so it can get further away from your memory bank. But the more you bring it up, the more it stays there with you. So let him go.
Right.
That's the past. Just move forward. He shouldn't even occupy no space in your brain or your mouth. His time is over.
Right.
You know, just focus on you, what you're trying to do, and hold your head up high because you're a queen. Forget what somebody said about you because what they say and what they think don't dictate who you are. And you're a queen.
Right.
You're right. But
all right,
back to the story.
So
you can find my books anywhere, in many online retailers all over the world. Mainly, you can find them on Amazon, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, A Books, Power Books. I have my own websites, which are Etsy.com/shop/43@desk and authorNicoleSBrown.yolasite.com.
Yeah, and everybody, Nicole is spelled N-I-C-O-L-E. Ethnol Mitchell Brown, B-R-O-W-N. So check her out, man. If this female is so able to just kick out books, pop, 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 there's something inside her she want to get out. And what she's trying to get out, maybe you might benefit from. Because, you know, we all have a past. I ain't going to point no fingers at her because y'all can point fingers at me. We all done some stuff. Let's keep it real, you know. And, hey, but I done told my story in my book, Broken, which is my autobiography. I told about how I used to swing, selling drugs, all that. Because I'm going to tell my own story. She made me point no fingers at me because I ain't already shit. Hey, and I'm grown, and I don't care what y'all think about me because none of y'all pay my mortgage. Too. All right?
Yeah, exactly. Amen.
Exactly. You know that. So, Chris, we got about maybe a couple of minutes. Is there another question you have for our phenomenal guest, Nicole S. Brown?
Well, I guess my question is, Nicole, you know, you've authored so many books. Have you thought about maybe doing, you know, TV work?
No, I haven't really because being involved in education for such a long time, but that sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, it does, because you're so, like, I mean, your story, like, resonates, and it's so good. I think it could be I think it would be a great movie, you know, your story.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good to me. But before I let you go, Nicole, I want you to say a shout-out to your girlfriend who you said is listening in. Call her by name and tell your girlfriend, I don't know her secret, too. She got a story to tell. If she want to tell it on air, hook me up. Call me at 443-956-8753. We can talk about anything, girl. Okay? Let me tell everybody, give your friend a shout-out before we get up out of here.
Oh, I want to give a shout-out to my friend, Kamika Blackman. We met some years ago, and she's been a real inspiration to me. She's real cool, and she's real down to earth, and I just love her to death.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. And for you and Chris, huh?
Something I want to say anything? One more poem, if you can, if I can.
Okay, well, you better hurry up, because we're running down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's called Super Soaker, and it's from my new book, Wet Dreams.
Okay.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. I'm thinking of your black lengthy poker. Yes, yes, yes. Driving into the right, relentless, righteously raunchy region of me. Oh, yes. My hands are in the air as a result of your kissing me everywhere. You have entered what is lower front and center for a sweet, salty, succulent, sensual adventure. We have entered lustfully, sweetly, and lovingly into an erotic lair. Whisper some things in my ear into me because people who are supposed to have all the sense in the world have literally fucked over your girl and you too. This is our secret rendezvous, our sweet escape. We got a love thing going on dealing with the fuck-ups in this world. We're going somewhere out of this world. We're going from mediocre. Oh, Jesus. I'm dreaming of your big, thick, lengthy poker. Yes, yes, hell yes. Driving into the right, relentless, righteously raunchy region of me. The poker driving in and out powerfully like a piston. Oh, shit, fuck me is what I mentioned. Twists and turns, moans, groans, cussing, and more muscling of you makes me scream, and damn it. Your poker turns me from a sweet, shy chick to a sexual super soaker. You laugh loudly and ecstatically like the Joker does when he attacks Batman. Yep, the poker card in me and I showed my ID. Fuck yes, I'm of legal age, but like a little kid, I still get played. That's probably why I'm still a super soaker today. Yep, the poker playing of one black man turns me into a super soaker. How exciting, I suppose. It's been a long time. It's not worth being innocent dealing with church folks who are not heaven sent. The super soaker and the poker need some action for some real righteously raunchy satisfaction. If they are bad, why can't we be? Shit, come on, poker, pull my hair, spank my ass, and call me names unlike the hating lames. I want joy.
it's a joy for them, for us to catch hell. Come on, poker, and get that super soaker so we can play well. Wet the floor, wet much more, wet the door, wet the sign that says, do not disturb. Lame-ass people got some motherfucking nerve. We close you off. There's a flood of freakiness in this room. The super soaker and poker are back in business. Can I get a witness? All praises to the poker and super soaker for their cooperation with each other. Can I get a witness? They help themselves and everyone else that are so-called sisters and brothers. Give them a dry hand. Amen.
Girl, I see you a freak. But to each his own. You know, it kind of made me feel a little funny when you mentioned the name Jesus and everything with that particular poem. But, you know, like I said, none of us is beyond reproach. I'm a sinner. Everyone's a sinner, you know. And what you write might help somebody else out. Make someone else feel like, okay, I can open up and be me. And that's what I want people to be. I want them to be authentically you. And, yes, girl, they say that every writer talks a little bit about themselves. So if that poem is an indication of you, girl, you are a bona fide freak with a capital F. I'm speaking to you. Oh, my Lord.
Yeah.
Anyway, darling, you have a blessed weekend. You stay safe. And if you ever want to get back to family for you, give me a call. You take care, Chris. Take care, friend
you
of
too.
Nicole. And y'all all have a great day.
All right.
And come back next week for a mental illness topic. Talk to y'all soon.
Ooh.
Good night.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.